Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, we're back. We roll till 6 o'clock. My partner is ecstatic, running around the radio station like a crazy fool because the Twins have tied the game. It's opening day. They still have 161 games still to play.
Yep. And I'm still excited about it, Jimmy B. I'm still pumped up. I love my team. I'm excited about this year. This is as optimistic as I've been in a very long time.
Yeah.
I don't care that they looked offensively stagnant all throughout the afternoon. They did what they had to in the ninth inning. They squeak on a couple of runs off a bloop single out of Robbie Grossman coming in as a pinch hitter. I'll take it, Jimmy B. Excitement. I got six more months of this. I don't know if my ticker's going to take it.
I was just going to say, dude, you got a lot of time going on here. You got to calm down. This is going to be a tough summer. I can see that right now.
Well, it's a difficult task, and as we were making our predictions yesterday, Jim, you know, we talked about obviously the local teams involved here. I do think the Twins are going to be good at the very least, but certainly not good enough still to beat the Indians. And I think the wild card race is going to take a lot more to even nab that second wild card spot than it did a year ago. And that's where my concern is. It's not that the Twins aren't going to be good. I really do truly believe that they will. But I think the Angels are going to be good. I can see the Blue Jays being pretty solid. It's not going to be like it was last year when seemingly the pack just kind of fell off around them and they were able to coast into that second wild card.
Right. I'm with you on that. I think that it'll be a much more difficult race for the wild card this year. I'm with you as well when we discussed it yesterday. We were all pretty well solid on who our division winners are going to be.
Right.
But I do think that there'll be several teams chasing the two wild card spots in both divisions. It'll be fun.
Hopefully we'll get some surprise teams. It seems like every year the Twins were that team last year coming off 103 losses, a franchise record, and they went the other way. So, you know, we've seen that before, who the dark horse is going to be. That's still to be seen. Milwaukee was another one a year ago that hung around to the very end. So, you know, who that team might be, I'd like Philadelphia to be that team. I liked it even before the Jake Arrieta signing. They got a lot of young guys. They had to go through the teardown and the rebuild, and it's happening right now. Spending a little bit of money in free agency, so that's a team that I have targeted. But that's a fun time of year. Spring hopes are what? Hope
eternal.
Rings eternal, whatever
yes.
the hell it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless, I'm hopeful about my squad. And a new reliever, another one of the arms. The Polads actually opened up their wallets this offseason too, Jimmy B. That's
they
the crazy
did.
Part. And Addison
yeah.
Reed, he's on the mound right now in that tie game in the ninth inning. So, well, I know this thing could go all night long. I mean, I might just be watching the Twins till the 18th inning. Now, that would be a little much, right? On opening day, sitting around. You
18
gotta,
innings? Then,
right.
Oh, man. Oh, come on.
So I'm going to guess you're a proponent of them putting a runner on second base when they get to extra innings.
You know, I want to see how that works before I make a decisive judgment on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good that they would try to end games a little quicker when they go to extra innings. Look, watching on ESPN today, they had to start the Rangers-Astros game on ESPN News because the Cubs and Marlins game was going so long. Well, they scored 12 runs in that game. It was 8-4 was the final. So they're you know, 3-hour windows, there's no 3-hour window for a Major League Baseball game anymore, Trent. You have to schedule at least about a 4, and then if it only goes 3:10, then you'll be able to do a pregame show for the next game that is. You can do a postgame show for what just ended and even do a little bit of a pregame show for what is going to begin at the top of the hour. It's like college basketball where the networks schedule 2 hours. They rarely go 2 hours anymore with the timeouts and the commercial breaks and everything else that takes place within the game. So, TV is going to have to take a look at this because people waiting for their game to come up. And look, we saw it during the college football season. You're waiting for Iowa State to start, or you're waiting for Iowa to start, and it's not on the Big Ten Network. It's on a regular network, and it's scheduled on the Deuce on ESPN2. The next thing you know, you see the scroll at the bottom of the screen. Go to ESPN News. Well, not everybody has ESPN News. So, you know, to get the start of your game. I just think they're going to have to try to schedule. Look, I get it. It's all money. Money is involved. It's big time. They pay massive amounts for the contracts to broadcast these games. They got to get in as much commercial time as they possibly can. But from that aspect, it's still frustrating.
Look, they're not going to make a four-hour window, though, Jimmy B. What happens to a baseball game
that's two hours and 10 minutes?
Then you're going to have an hour and 50-minute pregame show? Come on.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. But they could do – rarely does that happen. Most games go at least three, and you might get one that goes 250, and you'll get a few that go 310 or 320. But the majority of games at least go roughly 3 hours.
Yeah.
At least.
And that's the way that they have it set up. Well, Jim, 2-2 in that one in the Twins and the Orioles as they move on now after the Twins put two on the board. We go to extra innings. Luckily, no, there will not be a runner on second base here. You know, if they get into the 12th, 13th, I guess I wouldn't have a huge problem. But not right away in extra innings, right? Not in the 10th.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to see it right away. No, I want to see. I'm kind of like you. You know how they do the college football overtime? And you start at the 25, and
right.
Each team can get first down and score. And then after they've both scored, then they force them to go for a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
Instead of, and yeah, I kind of like that aspect of it. So maybe if you get to the 12th inning, maybe then I could start a runner at second base. I might be more inclined to like it if you're in the 12th.
Well, time to turn our attention off of the baseball here for a moment. Time to talk a little Hawkeyes. Joined right now by Derek Peck from HawkeyeHeaven.net. Great website for Hawkeye fans. A lot of football recruiting stories about the incoming freshmen going on. Podcast that Derek and I do have really enjoyed that. And DP, our conversations, as always, presented by Murphy Tower Service. We had a fun podcast earlier today. You're back with me again here on the drive home. But we had an opportunity to talk with Duez Henderson and some good stories that came out of our podcast earlier today.
There was some good stories, including, you know, I'm really getting hyped up for that what would it be, like 2038 basketball season, maybe?
Right.
Whenever Duez's kids are suiting up for the black and gold, hopefully.
Right, yeah. His his wife, Randy Peterson at the time, now Randy Henderson, after they were married. Two little ones and, well, a 6'1 wife, a 6'7 dad. The bloodlines certainly are there to have some future ballers in Carver Hawkeye Arena, and good excitement there. But a lot of fun stuff there. We have a good time with the podcast. You can find that over at HawkeyeHeaven.net. What else are you guys working on right now? Is, you know, we got spring football going on. I mentioned the recruiting stories that you have. Tell us a little bit more about Hawkeye Heaven.
Yeah, we just launched. So we, for those who don't know, we launched the website back in November. Obviously, we've been with you guys for quite a while now. We're working pretty closely with the University of Iowa. I actually have a phone call with them scheduled for tomorrow. We're trying to get some credentials so we can get a little bit more in-depth with some of these, just like the open practice yesterday and that type of stuff. We'd like to be there. But there's a process to that, and we're still relatively new. So we're doing what we can there. But as far as our website, you know, we've had a lot of recruiting stories coming out, trying to keep an eye on the basketball situation with the off-season now. And you know, we're also working on hopefully opening up a shop and getting some apparel in there, and we're just trying to stay on top of it. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and we're all pretty passionate about being able to cover the Hawks, and we just enjoy doing that. So it's been fun, and then you know, working with you guys has been a blast too, and we're hoping to get some arrangements here in the Des Moines area to do some game watch parties and that type of stuff at some local restaurants and bars. So it'll be fun coming up here on this football season.
Yeah, we got a lot certainly in the works there, and looking forward to what should be a great football season. Spring football going on right now. Know the media members made their way into the practice facility yesterday, got a chance to at least see a little bit of the practice. Derek, as spring goes on, we get some answers to the questions that we have. What's the most concerning position group to you right now? What's the one area that you look at and leaves you a little bit tepid going into these summer months?
Well, it's all, I mean, for me, it's always been wide receiver. I mean, I think they really need some playmakers to step up, and I'm confident with the talent that they have out there. In fact, right now I'm watching the Hawkeye Football Twitter account, at Hawkeye Football, posted a video a few hours ago of a catch that Amir Smith-Marset just made in practice today, and it was a heck of a play in the end zone. So, you know, I'm excited with what Smith-Marset and Smith, you know, their potential, both Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset, and then, you know, obviously you combine that with the tight end talent that Iowa has, and I'm optimistic about that, but, I mean, just going back the last several years, their inability to move the ball on offense a lot of times has come down to the inability to throw the ball down the field. So that's kind of the one area that just hasn't been there, you know, at all. Aside from maybe one or two games each season out of these past few years, it's just not been there. And when you're a run-focused team, it's key to be able to do that in order to keep the defense honest. And that just hasn't been the case the last couple of years. So they need some threats to emerge there. Certainly linebacker and defensive back on the defensive side of the football are areas that need to be addressed this time of year. They need to find some bodies there, but it, you know, almost always seems like Iowa has an answer at linebacker and defensive back, so I'm not as concerned there as I am about wide receiver.
So you're not as concerned about the linebackers? You're comfortable, you think, with what they have, or are you just saying that?
I mean, they're replacing some pretty dang talented guys. So it would be tough to not be a little bit concerned about it, but I guess I'm just a little bit more comfortable with their ability to sort of fit people into that position in their system. I mean, it's like they always find guys there who emerge into being really, really good football players. And I think they have that kind of talent. It's just a matter of getting them some experience. So I certainly expect there to be a learning curve, which typically means there'll be some mistakes and there'll be some big plays given up. And that, for that reason, certainly worth being a little bit concerned about it, because, you know, one or two big plays here and there can make the difference in a win or a loss. So it is worth being concerned about. But I like what Iowa has there. I think Nick Neiman will step right into the shoes that his little brother had. And, you know, sounds like Christian Welch. And then a guy like Aaron Mims or Imani Jones, you know. I mean, Aaron Mims has been on top of the depth chart. He's slipped back down. He's disappeared. He's got back on top, you know, in his career. And from everything I've heard, and even a little bit of what we've seen from him on the football field, he's an explosive player, has all the talent in the world, but it seems like it's more of a mental, you know, a mental thing with him. He needs to learn the playbook, and he needs to be disciplined, and he needs to know where to be. And, you know, if you're showing flashes of big playmaking ability, that it doesn't really matter if you're not able to be consistent and you're giving up the same type of big plays, you know, right after you make a big play. So it is concerning. I just like the talent that they have there, and the coaching that they have on that side of the ball makes me a little bit less nervous about that than I am on the offense.
All right, DP, with that, we mentioned some of the position groups and just an overall theme with this team. You had the guys that you have to replace, a couple All-Americans, another first-round draft pick in James Daniels, who has moved on. Where's the expectation level? When you look at, you know, the comments that you guys get out and the great following on Facebook with Hawkeye Heaven, you know, is it expectations, hey, this team should compete for a division title, bowl eligibility would be good enough this year? Have you been able to get a sense right now where the Hawkeye fan base is as it pertains to this team?
I really haven't. I think that the majority of people will be expecting a better year than last year. I mean, most people last season were thinking eight or nine wins. So, I would say it's probably fair to suggest that Hawkeye fans are expecting an improvement. Last year, the big question mark was quarterback, and Stanley came in and he played pretty well overall. I guess you could say he played like a first year starter. I mean, you know, it was statistically speaking, had a pretty good year, but he made some mistakes in there and it cost him. So hopefully, that's kind of how I feel about this upcoming season. Obviously there's some position groups like we just talked about, linebacker, wide receiver, et cetera, but I really feel like how well this team does in 2018 hinges on Nate Stanley and how much he progresses. If he doesn't take a step forward, we're probably looking at another 7 or 8 win season. If he takes a step forward and then also gets that support from his wide receivers, I think we should be looking at hopefully at least a 9 or 10 win season. But I would say, if I had to take a pulse of the fan base at all, I would just put it a little bit above how they finished last year. So I would say the expectations are probably a 9 or 10 win season, and anything less than that will be considered a disappointment.
Derek Peck is our guest, Hawkeye Heaven. You can always find great content on their website. Here on the Big Talker 1700. Okay, so here we are with a situation about a basketball player who is 6'7 and 230 pounds, and he's not going to play basketball anymore, and he wants to transition to football. All right, Derek, what have you heard? I know you've had your ear to the ground. Where is Ahmad Wagner right now? Tell us.
Oh, man, I wish I could be the guy who breaks the news and says he's at spring practice right now, right? To be honest with you, I haven't heard anything other than just kind of the rumors coming out of camp, and I know James Daniels made some comments at Pro Day the other day that he's been in his ear telling him to stay in Iowa City. I read a little bit into his comments, and it seemed like he was optimistic that there's a really good chance that's going to happen. But the Hawks could use him. I mean, I'm maybe a little bit overly optimistic there about how quickly he could come in and make plays. It's just it's tough to predict. I mean, it's tough to predict how you make that transfer from basketball to football and how long it would take for you to get back into the groove when you've been out of it for a few years. But I couldn't help but watch his highlight tape and kind of get a little too optimistic, because when he was playing in high school, he was one hell of a player. So I really hope that he comes to Iowa City. I don't know. I wish I could give you more than that. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But, I was thinking that there's no chance he wouldn't go to Iowa City because of the two-year rule, but then Trent kind of had to rain on my parade, and he made a lot of sense about, it wouldn't necessarily hurt him to go somewhere that has a little bit more success producing wide receivers, maybe a little bit more high profile, take a year to really get comfortable and transition back into the game of football and hone his craft, and then have one season to really show what he's got. And that made sense to me when Trent said that. So it kind of made me take a step back and realize that the decision's not that easy, but I do think with the depth at wide receiver at Iowa, it just depends how quickly he wants to play. I think that he could really look at getting some playing time this season. Maybe not early on, but I think he could get comfortable and then get a shot this season right away at Iowa, and then have another year after that as well. So, if he's listening, I hope he takes that into consideration, and I hope he wants to get on the field right away, because the Hawkeyes could use him.
And there's no doubt about that. Any kind of talent at that wide receiver position certainly would be a good thing. All right, DP, before we let you run over on the basketball side of things, last week there was a ton of news going on. It seems like things have settled down. Now, there's still more news that can be had. There's guys that certainly could go one way or the other. But, with the current construction of the roster, if Tyler Cook, if he decides to move on and play professionally wherever that turns out to be, what are your expectations with this team? Not knowing what they could get, be it a grad transfer, a JUCO guy, something like that. Do you expect this team to really buy in this year and make a big leap next season?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. That was why it was fun talking to Duez on our podcast this morning, just to get his perspective on that. Because, you know, to answer your question about expectations, I would love to see Fran go out and try to find an answer on the transfer market, but I'm also realistic enough to know that that's difficult because everybody's doing that nowadays. Yeah. Every school is looking at transfers right now, and you know the competition is just that difficult. So it's not as easy as it was several years ago when Hoiberg used to do it in Ames, because it's become the thing to do. And with that said, you know, I think it's unrealistic to just expect him to go patch the holes that they have. But the one thing that I think is a must is what Duez addressed, and that's find an identity. They got to find an identity on defense. I mean, they have to hone one type of defense, make it theirs, and get as good at it as they possibly can. Because this whole mixing it up and switching it around and not being good at any of it really, and we saw what that's done. It's a disaster. And it doesn't matter how good your offense is if you're giving up 80, 90 points a game. So my one expectation is take the defensive end of the court seriously. You know, and what I mean by that is show that you're making moves in the off season to address it, because I don't think that it doesn't seem to me like it's been taken that seriously, and from what I've heard, they've really been an offensive focused team. They focus a lot on offense and practice, and that shows. I mean, that shows in the games. So if they can do that, then I think they have the offense to compete. But if they don't address their issues on defense, then unfortunately I don't see next season being much different, especially when you look at the some of the concerns about maybe losing another, you know, losing Tyler Cook or even losing a Cordell Pemsel, or some of these guys that we're just not sure about yet. So, you know, my biggest expectation is just to get tough and take defense seriously.
Good stuff. Hey, DP.
Have you heard
it? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, have you heard any rumblings at all about adding an assistant coach who's a defensive guy, or has there been any conversation about making one of the assistants right now concentrate more on defense?
I haven't heard anything. You know, maybe Duez would consider doing something on a consultant basis, because he's got his own camp and he's done some coaching and he works with kids and he obviously knows what he's doing. He was a hell of a defender when he was at Iowa.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they bring him in, and he did mention that he would make it to one practice every month or so this past season. So, you know, I think he'd be a heck of a guy to bring in and just to be a consultant. But no, I mean, they were really the only thing I've heard so far that is a positive is that, you know, when Kreiner made the comment that they're going to revamp their strength conditioning program and hopefully put some muscle on these kids, that'll be a step in the right direction as well. But as far as the actual coaching staff and the philosophy, I have not heard anything there. But, you know, I hope something comes out because it needs to be addressed.
Good stuff. Hey, DP, as always, thanks for catching up with us today. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
That's Derek Peck. HawkeyeHeaven.net is the website. Big following, of course, on Facebook as well. A lot of great things going on over there. Our conversations with Derek and the rest of the crew with Hawkeye Heaven, presented by Murphy Tower Service, currently taking applications for their telecommunications tower technician apprenticeship program. You can apply online at murphytower.com. Earn while you learn with Murphy Tower Service. All right, Jimmy B. One thing he mentioned there at the top, and I asked him the position group, you know, that concerns him, and he talked about wide receiver. The young guys, we saw Smith Marset last year. He was making mistakes. Remember that the first time he touched the football a year ago against Wyoming, he fumbled. They gave it to him on an end around. He fumbled. There was a stretch where he was dropping passes. Remember that play? Was it Michigan State where he's opened up the sideline? Just couldn't haul it in as he was all by himself. There were a lot of growing pains a year ago, but normally it seems like a guy like that in the Iowa system, they get buried, but they kept going back to him. That, to me, says that this guy has a ton of talent, and they know he is too talented to just bury him on the bench for making mistakes. They need that kind of playmaker, and I thought that was a good thing, even with those mistakes, a good thing to see last year.
I agree. Look, I thought that he hit the nail on the head when the first thing he said was wideouts, because it has been a ongoing problem. Trent, how many years in a row have we talked about that? That they've had issues at wide receivers, guys who couldn't get any separation. I don't know. You would wish and hope, if you're a Hawk fan, that these guys would catch lightning in a bottle and prove everybody wrong, that particular position is not going to be an issue. But until we see it with our own eyeballs, I believe that it still will be one of the major concerns for this Hawkeye football team.
To me, I have more groups that I'm more concerned with. I believe that you bring back Nick Easley, led the team in receiving last year. You can play him more in the slot this season, especially, as the mentioned, Amir Smith-Marset's ready to go. Brandon Smith, right, who certainly looks the part, got a little bit of playing time last year. If he's ready to go, we're hearing great things about Kyle Groenewig. They're bringing in some recruits this year that have some pretty big accolades. So that group, because Iowa can get by without having great receivers, we've seen that plenty of times in the past, that they can at least make a way. Those other positions, though, Iowa can't get by if they're not good at the defensive tackle. It's difficult for them if their interior, their offensive line isn't very good. That's why I keep going back to those position groups, because for the way that Iowa's built, those positions are more important than wide receiver. You get where I'm going?
Yeah, no, I do. I understand what you think. I mean, you're under the assumption that there are enough people there right now where it's still a concern, but not a major concern. You believe that there are other spots on the team that you're more concerned about. Is that correct? Am I reading you correctly?
Yeah, because, you know, I was gotten through without having great receivers.
Yeah.
But there are not very many years that you can point to and say, you know what, they were bad along the lines, but they were still pretty good. That's just not the way I was built. So that's probably why I keep going back. And even linebacker. If the defensive line is good, the linebackers are going to make plays. We're not talking about a group of freshmen. If it was, we need Dylan Doyle to come in right away and start at linebacker, that would be concerning. But it's Nick Neiman. He's been around. It's Jack Hockaday. It's Aaron Menz. It's Amani Jones.
Yeah.
These guys all have experience, too. And that's why, I guess, to me, it's new names, it's different, and replacing Josie Jewell, absolutely. That's going to be difficult to do, but I just don't think the drop-off is going to be significant enough at some of these other spots compared to that. Regardless, Jimmy B, we're talking in circles, and we need to take a break, all right?
Sounds good to me. I talk in circles every day, so from that standpoint, it's always good when a commercial comes up.
We'll come back on the other side. Great conversation there, Derek Peck. Find the website, HawkeyeHeaven.net, and just search on iTunes and all your favorite listening devices. You can hear Derek and myself talking Hawkeyes each and every week for about an hour. It's Hawkeye Heaven and the Hawkeye Heaven podcast. We come back on the other side with more. It's Jimmy B and TC.
All right, everybody. On Thursday, we always have Ken Silverstein join us, Big Ten Conference Insider, and then we slide into other topics with Ken as well. Kenny, first off, good afternoon to you. And secondly, let's start with Michigan as we get ready for the Big Ten, who have not won a Final Four since 2000, and Michigan State. Here's my major question. Have you dumped Tom Izzo for John Beilein?
Well, I haven't done it yet, but Beilein's one hell of a coach. I mean, he gets good talent. No one will dispute that. But he's not getting, you know, Fab Five type of talent. He's not getting Jalen Rose. He's not getting Weber. He's not getting King and those guys, Jimmy King and those guys from, you know, those halcyon days for Michigan. So, from that standpoint, he's doing a lot with good players, but these are not usually every year lottery guys. Izzo's getting McDonald All-American guys, and that they're not in the Final Four, there's something wrong. And I mentioned last week whether the fiasco that's been going on there, and I'm not going to get into it because we all know what it's about. The bottom line is I wonder how much of an effect that had on the basketball program this year. It just seemed like watching Michigan State, they would have these unexpected lulls where they would just like disappear. And you're going, wait a second here, there's too much talent. What the hoot is going on here? So getting back to Beilein, hell of a coach. as good a story, and it's a great story. Loyola is a great story, and obviously it's been well documented over the last couple of weeks during March Madness, but I think the dream will come to an end. I'd be shocked if Michigan loses. So they're going to get to the championship game where I think they'll lose. I don't think they have the talent of Villanova. I don't think they have the experience of Villanova at this point. Pedigree, maybe a better way of saying it. So I got Kansas losing. Villanova wins it all. And if Villanova's not a blue blood, they are a blue blood now. Jay Wright's done one hell of a job with that program in Philadelphia.
Ken, Jim mentioned the drought between titles for the Big Ten. That's certainly a perspective that you wonder about, but we've seen a host of schools that have been able to get to the Final Four. Why this discrepancy? Why the difference where we've seen, seven, I think, different schools that have made the Final Four during that time from the Big Ten and even make it to the championship game, but nobody can bust through? Is it recruiting? Is it just a little bit of luck? Why do you think the reason is for this big gap going back 18 years?
Wow, it's a great question, because you literally would have to look at every school and look at, you know, their program, their starting five, their six, seven, eight. If they go nine deep, most schools don't, and try to figure out, you know, where the best opportunity. While you were asking the question, the one that popped into my brain was a couple years ago, the Wisconsin team. First of all, I think Bo Ryan was a hell of a coach, number one. Number two, Kaminsky and Decker ended up being NBA players. Not superstars, but, you know, particularly Kaminsky. Watched him the other night against the Cavaliers. Kaminsky's got a pretty good overall skill set. Decker's had some injuries. But I don't know. I think you'd really have to break it down and look at every one of them again and look at their roster and look at who they were playing and what were the circumstances. But the one that popped in my head was Wisconsin, because of the way they played. They had two guys that were first-round draft picks, which is, you know, pretty good for a Big Ten squad. So I'm not saying the answer is correct, but that's the one that popped in my brain of just a couple years ago. So it's not like I'm going back 5, 10, 15 years. I'm only going back a couple years where Wisconsin came that close to winning it all.
Ken Silverstein is our guest right here on the Big Talker 1700. All right, Ken, so break it down. How do you see this playing out then with the Final Four? And start with the two semifinal games coming up on Saturday.
Well, again, look, Loyola's a great story, and it's a great run. And, you know, when they lose, because they're going to lose, it's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, it will be for the kids and their alumni, fans, whatever. It's still a great story. I mean, you make the Final Four with a bunch of two-star kids, basically, maybe a three-star thrown in the mix from a recruiting standpoint. So from that perspective, it's a great run. It will be remembered for a long, long time. But Michigan's going to win, okay? If Michigan loses this game, they should be ashamed, okay? I mean, the Big Ten has got to win this game. So at this point, I see Michigan taking care of business, so obviously that puts them in the championship game. The problem is if you list the four teams in order, okay, Villanova would be number one, Kansas would be number two, Michigan would be number three, Loyola would be number four. The problem is in the other semifinal, you got one versus two. They are the two best teams. Only one's going to obviously advance. I think it's going to be Villanova. I think most people think it's going to be Villanova. So you got Nova against Michigan. You know, again, it's not a best three, five, or seven. You know, if Villanova has a couple minutes of bad basketball, could Michigan get a W? I guess they could, but I don't see it. I think Villanova is so well coached. They have really good players. They're really deep. They have an inside game. They got an outside game. They have guard play. Are they a perfect team? No. There is no perfect team in college hoops right now due to circumstances. But, yeah, I got Nova winning another national championship, and if that doesn't make them a blue blood, they should be a blue blood program because they're going to win another title.
Off the hardwood for a moment, Ken Silverstein joining us, our Big Ten Conference insider, to Michigan's football team. Earlier this afternoon, Ken, it was announced that Michigan has canceled their home-and-home football series with Virginia Tech. Kind of excited about those games. Looks like it'd be a pretty fun series. Mm-hmm. They replaced game one of that. Get ready for this. With Arkansas State. Now, I get it, Ken. When the schedules were made, when they made that contract with Vatek, the Big Ten was in an 8-game schedule. Now it's a 9-game schedule. I get it. They already have Washington in the schedule those years. But come on. Bite the bullet for a year. Oh, no. We have to play another power conference team that season. Boy, this one just reeks of Michigan scared to go out and actually schedule hard.
Man, I saw that, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Trent. How about dropping Arkansas State, or maybe a better way of saying it, drop State and play Arkansas?
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, you don't have to play them in Fayetteville. Play them in Ann Arbor. Play them in a neutral site. Play them in Little Rock. Play them anywhere. I don't care. Play them in Jim's backyard if it's big enough. Whatever.
I like that idea.
It's just a bad schedule. It really is. I mean, you got to play somebody who's better than that. But it is what it is. I don't know why there's petrified of Virginia Tech, quite frankly. I mean, they're a nice program, but Frank Beamer's not coaching. You know, Coach Fuentes has done a nice job over the last year or two. I'm a little bit surprised at what they've done.
So, Jimmy B., your thoughts on this. Michigan, all right, so you got, I get it. I understand it, but
yeah,
this is
yeah.
for one season. It's one season only that you had the overlap with both Washington and Virginia Tech in there. It sends such a terrible message. It sends weakness, and boy, I wish there was just a scheduling guru that just did it all for these schools. I freak out about it in basketball. I freak out about it here in the football side of things. Just make me the schedule czar. I'm going to make it better for everybody because this reeks of just awfulness.
I know that you would be a terrific schedule czar, and I know that you understand what they did and why they did it. But to be honest with you, I bet Michigan fans don't care. I bet they don't care if they're playing Arkansas State or Virginia Tech. From our standpoint, the Virginia Tech matchup would be a nice national game. And it would be incredibly fun to watch. But it's not going to happen. They schedule Arkansas State instead. It'll be in the Big House. The Big House will have 100,000 people there. And they won't care. They'll just cheer on Big Blue. So I have a feeling, Trent, that because of the way this went down, I'm sure Michigan will spin it. Well, you get to see, oh man, I just blanked out. The Red Wolves, that's who they are. You get to see the Red Wolves play. How exciting, a pass happy team. How exciting is that going to be matched up against Big Blue? I don't like it. It's lousy what happened. But I'm like you, I understand why they did it.
Well, we'll take a break, come back, and put a cap on things next year as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. A lot of baseball talk, a lot of talk about Drake and their new hire. Darren DeVries will be the new man. We'll come back on the other side, put a cap on things. Here until 6 o'clock on a Thursday, it's Jimmy B and TC, presented by New Leaf Wellness. If you're in the market right now, want to get feeling better, call New Leaf Wellness today, 650-1358. They can help you out. Testosterone treatment programs, GAC and MIC, those are the two treatment programs I'm on, helping with energy levels, helping me feel better. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358. We put a cap on things next. Final segment of the day, Jimmy B. It has been certainly an interesting day, the opening day of Major League Baseball. The Cubs get out to the early lead. We talked about Ian Happ starting things off with that big home run. Then John Lester gives up the lead, and you're kind of left wondering, oh, what's going on there? They get it done, though. The Cubs win it. They're on pace to go 162-0. Probably not realistic, but it's fun having baseball back, Jimmy B. And how about opening day for you? You're the bunting around, you know, the red, white, and blue all around the stadium. They're just,
yeah.
There's something that's so Americana about it. I love this day.
I always watch opening day. I always do. I just start to, and then I always watch the first couple of weeks to see what's, you know, shaking out. And then I just dip in and out until we get to the All-Star break. And then I really get locked in. So from that standpoint, this has been a sensational opening day. First pitch, Happ goes yard. Did you see what Giancarlo Stanton did at the Yankees? His first at bat wasn't the first pitch, but his first at bat, he goes yard and hits it out. And I know that you're always into the metrics because you bust them on me all the time, and I don't give a damn about them. But they're saying that the ball traveled at 117 miles an hour to right center field, which they're saying is the fastest, was faster than anything that was hit out last year.
That's exit velocity, Jimmy B. I introduced
That's
that to you
I
a
said.
Couple of years ago. I introduced that to
and
you
when,
a couple
of and what you did, and when I sit on the toilet, exit velocity. Jeez. I got it.
You got some, oh boy, that's a dangerous place to go. We'll stay away from that. And Jimmy B, everybody's been jumping aboard since I started talking about exit velocity. Have you noticed that when you flip on MLB Network, you flip on Baseball Tonight, more and more people are talking about exit velocity.
I know. It drives me crazy. All these metrics, like, look, he hit it out of the park, okay? I mean, it was a shot. And that's all I need to know. I need to see it, which I did, and then, boom, it was a rocket. Okay, so it went 117 miles an hour. Oh, okay, I guess that's pretty good, right? No, that's the best that that they have seen, like better than anything that they had last year since they've been doing exit velocity. So from that standpoint, I guess it's impressive. To me, it was just a line shot over the right center field fence.
All right. Well, tonight, Jimmy B, we got more baseball on tap this evening. Let's see, what kind of grabs the attention this evening? Giants, Dodgers, okay. It's Kershaw, so that's pretty good. Late tonight, Cleveland, Seattle. I'm going to be keeping an eye on that one. Going to guess maybe you'll dip into a little Colorado, Arizona. Does that do anything for you?
I'll because it's on and it's opening day, I'll slide through it a little bit. But San Francisco, Los Angeles, look, that's always a great rivalry. I know everybody on the East Coast, it's Yankees, Red Sox. On the West Coast, it's Dodgers, Giants. So from that aspect, yes, I will probably, and with Kershaw going, I will indeed probably lock and load on that one for a little while. Absolutely.
OKC, San Antonio in the league, the association, that'll probably trip your trigger, I'm going to guess.
That will, yes. I'll be on top of that. And look, this is, it's interesting how the NBA is playing out. Like last night with LeBron going for 41 points in front of Michael Jordan, just to send that little message that LeBron likes to send, which he did. And no Kevin Love because he was out concussion protocol. So look, there's the OKC San Antonio game. I think is interesting. I do want to see the late game. I'll probably watch a little of Golden State in Milwaukee. I want to see the Greek Freak against the Warriors. No Steph Curry, but we'll find out tonight if Kevin Durant returns because he's had those rib injuries.
All right. I'm also tonight, I'm going to watch a little NIT action. The title of the NIT. I'll watch Penn State, Utah. I'm into that. And
I'll watch that. Yeah.
I'm all about the Nittany Lions laying the four. That's going to be a hefty bet out of your boy.
Wow, you're locking on the NIT championship game.
I had the Nittany Lions two nights ago. I'm going back to the well one final time. Coming up tomorrow, we look forward to the Final Four. We'll be doing that as well. Looking forward to it. Should be a great, great time and a lot of fun there. That'll do it for the program today. Thanks to everybody out there for listening in. Back tomorrow starting at noon with myself and Ken Miller, and then from 4 until 6 with your drive home with Jimmy B and TC, all here on 1700.